Hey everyone, it's Friday, September 18th, 2020. Welcome to episode 30 of the Ginger and the Beard podcast. I'm AJ, aka the Ginger.
And I'm Reese, aka the Beard.
On this week's show, we'll be drinking and reviewing craft beers voted on by our audience, talking about the latest UFC news, including Conor McGregor's arrest and the latest announcements from Apple.
We'll also be covering more Oculus Quest 2 specs that have been revealed, finally. Games will be available, and the games that will be available for the headset, details on the PS5 price and release date, and much more. So, stick around. And we're back. Let's do this.
Yes, let's do this indeed. How's your week been, man?
Week's been good. Went by really fast. Had a lot of fun earlier this week, guys. If you haven't checked it out, make sure to check out episode 29. We'll be talking about that, I think, a little bit during our beer section. But check it out, guys. Earlier this week, we brewed some beer. It was a lot of fun. I'm looking at it every day. I went and looked at it earlier. super excited about that. Besides that, you know, celebrating my wife's birthday this weekend. And
That's right. Man, exciting stuff.
Yeah. Not doing anything crazy, but, you know, it should be nice. It'll be great. Good time. Besides that, man, not a whole lot going on in this neck of the woods. How about you?
It's been a good week. So I talked about it on Tuesday too, but I took Monday off. Had a great day. The wife and I went out and did some things by ourselves with no kids. That was great. And then today we also took a half day. So I only worked half a day today. So nice. I had a fairly short week at work, but somehow it still felt long, but it was good. Nice and productive. But yeah, like you said, one of the biggest highlights of the week was brewing that beer on Monday, which we talked about on Tuesday's episode. Pretty chill week overall. Nothing too crazy happened. I got some tech news coming up that we'll talk about soon, but really exciting stuff for today, but I'll save that for later.
A lot of good stuff coming up this episode, guys, so stick around. I'm really excited. I know you are, but before we move on and talk about what we're drinking today, just want to quickly give everybody a reminder, follow our show here on Twitch, like and subscribe on YouTube, subscribe on your favorite podcast player, and if you really want to help us grow, share this episode with a friend. As always, we appreciate your support, and we are glad you are here.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you guys so much.
All right, man. I guess we're going to jump in. We got a lot of news, so we might as well get this going. Let's go.
I know. We got to dive in. Let's do it.
All right, guys. Be right back. Man,
what? Just breezing through. We are breezing through already, man.
So happy, dude. What are we drinking today?
Well, let's go start off by giving a shout out to our voters. I gotta say, my bad this week, guys. I totally forgot to put the polls up yesterday. So the polls didn't go up until earlier today, but it was enough time for the people to vote and give us their opinions. So let me just say, the voters for me was between the brewery Mischief and Stone Brewing's Wizards and Gargoyles, and the people voted 70% to 30% for the Mischief by the brewery. And just to give you guys some insight, literally I put the polls up and 5 minutes later the Beard texts me, he's like, dude, I hope Mischief wins.
Yeah.
We're not like biased that. Here.
No, not biased at all.
Yeah.
So. I voted for Mischief.
So we got here Mischief from the brewery. If you guys don't know about the brewery, they're located in California, but also another one in Washington, D.C., I believe. Very, very popular brewery. I think you've had a couple of their more like dessert style beers on the show before, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, man.
But this one here is a hoppy Belgian style golden strong ale. So right up my alley, nice and hoppy. It's 8.5%. Big 16-ouncer. Gonna crack this bad boy open. give it a pour here.
Do it. Nice and golden.
Nice. Yeah, nice golden color. Not super hazy, but definitely a little haze there. A nice consistent head there on the top, as you can see, and the ginger and the beard, official beer glass.
I like how that the head kind of, it almost looked like it was a nitro, kind of, you know,
how it a little
was
bit.
It was hazy and then it got clear as it went on.
Yeah, definitely could see that. So yeah, this is pretty typical for a Belgian style. They're typically pretty golden in color, which you can, that's obviously called a golden strong ale, so no surprise there. But they describe it as being a dry hop. I'll go ahead and give you guys the description here that they put up. Mischief is a hoppy Belgian style golden strong ale. This wickedly good golden ale is fiendishly dry hopped with American hops to add a layer of complexity and mystery to its fruity, dry Belgian-style character. Citrus and resin diabolically combine with ripe melon, pear, and slight peppery spice in a precariously effervescent mixture. Man, whoever wrote this is like on another level. So all that said, yeah, it's dry hopped. So if you guys don't know, we've learned a little bit more about hops lately. Been talking a little bit more about what difference hops makes in the brewing process and when you add it, what difference it makes. But typically when you hear dry hop, that means the hops were added later in the brewing process, like during the ferment or at the very last couple minutes of the boil. So that's what I'm kind of assuming is happening here, which typically means a much stronger hop aroma. So, but honestly, not as strong, off of this one at least, not as strong as I would expect. But I did read up on the Belgian style ales, and they do typically lean more towards the maltier side. So I wonder if that's the case with this one. Gonna go ahead and give it a try.
Yeah, probably. That makes sense.
I do actually pick up a lot more on the malts than the hops, and this one's very smooth. I mean, the hops are definitely present. Citrusy for sure, as it describes in the description, but very smooth. Like if you're somebody who's kind of hesitant to pick up an IPA, though this is not technically an IPA, still pretty hopped up beer.
Yeah, yeah.
I would recommend this. This is definitely a smooth transition into the hoppier style because it's not overwhelming. The citrus is what I get the most from it. Very fruity. Not really picking up a lot on the peppery taste, which I was kind of excited about. I wonder if I can pick up on it with a second. Okay. Yeah, I guess if I'm paying a lot more attention, sometimes I feel like you can trick your taste buds a little bit by like telling yourself you're tasting something. But I do kind of get a little bit of that peppery flavor on the finish, but it's very dry, as it does mention. But I would definitely recommend this for somebody who's trying to ease your way into a hoppier beer. It's not overpowering. Like I said, it's not going to turn you away from the hops. But yeah, overall, very smooth, good mouthfeel, very full bodied, very flavorful. Yeah, all around, I was expecting a stronger hop aroma, but yeah, overall, I definitely like this beer a lot. Good job, brewery.
I like strong ales, man. And I always feel like the brewery is like underrated and not a whole lot of people know about them. A lot of their beer is pretty expensive though, because I think they put a lot of like time and effort into each one of their beers. And, you know, I think it pays off usually. So happy you liked it, man. I thought it's really good.
I picked this up from Total Wine. They do have a few options here. I mean, obviously it's a West Coast brewery, even though they do have a brewery in Washington, D.C. I guess they primarily maybe distribute from California, but there's a few options here locally with Total Wine, but I do want to try some more of their like dessert-style beers to see what those are all about. But that one, I love the can art. I love the taste and all that stuff. And you're right, I was looking into their website earlier, and they talk about how they what's the word I was about to use? It was going to be such a good word. They prioritize flavor over style. So they're not so much focused on the traditional style of the beer as much as they are the flavor. And it said they draw a lot of inspiration from culinary, like the culinary world. And so I'm assuming, like you said, they put a little bit more time and effort into, you know, each of their beers. So
yeah. Yeah.
Very pleased with that one.
Nice.
I'll be picking up more in the future.
I think, you know, they have been releasing a lot out around here, but if you get a chance, I would definitely recommend trying one of their barrel aged barley wines. If you're in for, you know, sometimes they run around $40 for a 375 milliliter bottle, and it's a bit pricey, man. But
that's
steep. Tell you what, it's a very good experience. Maybe save that one for New Year's or something, special occasion. So yeah,
good tip.
Yes, sir.
So moving on, let's look at what the voters gave you, the beard. So, but for you, I'll go ahead and kind of intro this for you. I got this since I got it right here in front of me. It was between the Virginia Beer Company Plot Twist and Anderson Valley Framboise Rose Goza.
Yeah. So I did the Anderson Valley last week. I had an Anderson Valley, and so I figured I'd throw them up there again and see if they could pull, you know, two in a row. Could we get them on the show? Two in a row didn't work out.
Two-timer.
Didn't work out. Instead, we got Virginia Beer by a landslide. I mean, what a crazy, crazy landslide there. So we got the Plot Twist here. Guys, Plot Twist is, they have a tagline: if M. Night Shyamalan was a beer. Shyamalan. I think I'm saying
Shyamalamana.
Right. So this is,
I have no idea.
I don't either. So this is an imperial fruited sour brewed with blackberries and lemons.
Mm.
The can kind of makes you feel like it's got blackberries and lemons in it, doesn't it?
There you go.
Kind of looks
you
like
think
it.
Some clever designers.
Yeah, these guys, they know what they're doing. Let's go ahead and pour this slowly, carefully.
Away from the keyboard.
Away from the keyboard. In our good old ginger and the beard glass. Wow, look at this, man.
Mm.
This looks good. It's nice. It's slightly pink. It's opaque. Looks hazy. Really hazy. Didn't get it all in there, but that's fine. Looks like bubblegum, man. Looks like bubblegum here.
Wow, that is a really nice color.
Yeah, man. So really happy about this, guys. This is 8% ABV, which if you drink sours, I think most of the sours that I've had are usually around like 4 to 5% ABV. Rarely do you see an 8% alcohol.
Yeah, that's
volume,
pretty heavy.
Alcohol by volume beer. So let's go ahead and give it a sip. Wow, yeah, that's really good. I got a strong taste on the front of my tongue of blueberries. A lot of lemon, a lot of citrusy flavors on the back there. You know, the sour is profound, but not overwhelming. You know, so I think this is like a well-rounded beer. First off, I really like the color of it. I like the body of it. It's like medium-bodied, and it's very tasty. You know, tart, certainly tart, a little bit of sweetness, but I just like the fact that it says that it was brewed with blackberries and lemons, and literally the first thing I tasted was blackberries when this thing touched my tongue, and then the sourness hit me, and then I realized there was some lemon and citrusiness, I don't know how to say it, on the back end. But clearly a very refreshing beer. I would say that this maybe is not a beginner's sour, because you still have to get past that sour taste, you know. But once you have had a couple beginner level sours, this is your next step right here. If you want something delicious and flavorful, that looks cool in your hand, this is it. Overall, I'm really impressed with this. I don't think I've ever had a beer from the Virginia Beer Company. I think they're in Williamsburg, yeah. Virginia. I've never been down there, but it's an imperial fruited sour ale. So I would expect a little bit more hops on this because it being labeled as an imperial, but I'm not getting a lot of hops. So I think that means that they probably did a very good job at like hiding the bitterness of, you know, hops with more of a softer, lighter hops, more of like a fruity, citrusy hops.
Yeah.
You know, being that it was brewed with blackberries and lemons. I'm sure they chose some yeast and some hops that complemented the blackberries and lemons well. So bravo, Virginia Beer Company, guys. Try the plot twist. It's good.
Awesome. Yeah, I like this progression. The past few weeks, you've had a few entry level sours, and now we're taking people up a notch, getting into some real stuff, some hard stuff.
Lock and load. Wait till we got coming up next.
Yeah, man. I got to tell you about a goza that I had today, actually.
Okay.
Shane and I actually ventured out to a new brewery here in Norfolk, Virginia called Benchtop Brewing. Shout out Benchtop Brewing if you're local to 757. Go check them out. Really cool spot. Really low-key. Had a lot of fun just hanging out there for a little bit. Got a flight from Benchtop, and one of the options that I chose was a goza called Goza Mole.
Ooh,
so let's break that down a little bit. This goza was actually brewed with tortilla chips and guacamole.
What?
I don't know at what point they add this, if it's, you know, in the fermentation period or what. But at some point they add tortilla chips and guacamole into it. And I'll tell you, you definitely, it registers. The guacamole, maybe not as much. Obviously, you know, it goes as already salty as it is. I don't know. It's kind of hard to pull a guacamole flavor out of it, but for sure I pulled tortilla chips out of it.
You pulled, did you eat them? Was there queso?
No. Not physical. Oh, okay. You're joking.
I'm joking.
When I ordered it, I actually legit asked the guy. I was like, so on, like written up on the thing, it says with tortilla chips and guacamole. I'm like, so does this come with tortilla chips? And he's like, no. This is actually in the beer. And I'm like, okay, well, I have to try that. I mean, I can't be here and leave here and not try that. So yeah. I did. And I didn't even finish it. I couldn't finish the sample size that they gave me for the flight. I couldn't do it.
Whoa. Why?
Yeah, it was too tortilla. Dude, I'm telling you, like, it's supposed to be salty, right? But the flavor of tortilla was very dominant in tortilla chip. Very
That's
dominant in the
crazy.
Drink. It was too much for me. And I don't know if it's just because I'm not much of a... I mean, I've worked my way up the ladder in terms of gozas, just being acquainted with you. You know, I've gotten a little bit more experienced in that realm, but that was too much for me. Maybe the next time you guys are in, maybe we'll head over to Benchtop. You can try it out and see what you think.
Yeah, I mean, I'm always up for experiences, man. That sounds good to me.
Yeah, I mean, I just to go ahead and give the redemption to Benchtop, though, every other beer that I had on the flight was delicious. They had something called the brunch, something brunch. But it was I think it was either a stout or a porter that was very, like, coffee-infused, cocoa nibs, you know, that kind of stuff. And it was caramel. It was delicious. Wow. So definitely worth checking Benchtop out. But tortilla and guacamole, goza mole, definitely not for me.
Jeez. All right. Well, you caught my interest. I definitely want to learn more about that. I got a little bit of beer news. Yuengling teams up with Chicago's Molson Coors to expand westward. So if you have ever really followed Yuengling, have you ever been a Yuengling drinker?
I've had a few Yuenglings in my day, but not many.
So Yuengling started out in Pennsylvania, just north of Philadelphia, and that's kind of where they hung out for a lot of times. And then they started expanding out. They went south. They were in Florida for a bit. They hit a couple other states. I know they hit Virginia. Then they went up north. They hit Ohio. But they kept it, you know, basically just on the eastern side of the United States. But now that they're partnering up with Molson Coors, they're going to expand westward. This is crazy. So everybody out west probably doesn't even know what Yuengling is. Maybe they do. Maybe they've had it once if they travel this way ever. But, you know, there's high potential that a lot of people have never had Yuengling out west. So this is going to be very interesting. Molson Coors has been kind of down in the ditch. They're 2% down in yearly sales year over year, which is pretty rough. They're hoping that this partnership with Yuengling is going to help them bring their sales back up. So kind of interesting, man. Good for you West Coasters out there.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say if I'm ever like in a situation where there's no actual craft beer to be chosen from, you know, like maybe at a wedding reception or something. Not that I've been to many wedding receptions. The last wedding reception I was ever at was actually your wedding reception. Hey. And you guys had excellent drink options.
Oh, thank you.
But, you know, like some kind of situation like that, where maybe it's like a work function, all they've got is like, you know, pretty standardized beers. Yingling is usually what I would go for. If
Nice.
not like a Bud, just a Budweiser, just a good old Bud Heavy.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
So
They're
yeah,
full. They're
that's
full
cool.
of flavor.
It's true. It's definitely true. Definitely a lot better than that dirty water called Bud Light or Natural Light
Or Bush Light. Ooh, blah, blah,
or
blah.
Bush Light or
Oh,
Coors Light or
oh
anything
gosh.
light.
Yeah. Hey, before we move on though, I just want to say, dude, did your beer just like the yeast have like an explosion? Like, was it just an explosion of yeast and now it's like nothing? There's like nothing going on now?
Yeah, it's basically died down. I meant actually today to put my airlock on the fermenter, the carboy, but I forgot to do it. So it's still hanging out in that half full glass of water. But yeah, the fermentation has significantly slowed down, which it said it was going to happen. So I think we're on track.
Nice. I went ahead and put the airlock on. But it's, you know, nothing's happened since that. So it's just kind of,
Yeah.
I guess now it's just sit back and
Just wait.
all the fun is over. Now we just gotta, now we gotta, well, not all the fun. We'll get to more fun later, but right now we're in
Yeah.
the waiting period. So here we
Yeah,
go.
well, actually, both of us on Monday should be adding something additional into our fermentation.
Oh, you're right. You're
Yeah,
right.
you gotta add
Yeah.
your cocoa nibs. I gotta add my oak chips, so that's cool.
Good thing we
But
have calendars because I had to set an alarm.
I put all that in my phone calendar because I so I wouldn't forget.
Right.
Did you sanitize your airlock before you stuck it in?
No, I didn't sanitize the airlock. I
Because
sanitized
it.
it prior to,
Oh, you did. You
but
did.
then I
Okay.
just put it like back in the bag and
Gotcha. I
yeah.
haven't sanitized now. I think I'll have to use a little bit of the sanitization solution before I
Yeah.
stick it in there.
I
So.
don't know. I'm not too worried about it 'cause it's just going right in the top part, but
Yeah.
I don't know.
I
Hopefully I
just like
didn't
picture
mess
these
up.
little tiny bacteria just like crawling down into the carboy and infesting my beer and like
Nom nom nom
ruining my
nom.
work
Going to eat all of your sugar.
and poop out more alcohol.
Bad flavored things. Ugh.
So
Yeah.
guys, before we transition into our next segment, that's actually a good topic that we're talking about. Make sure you go check out episode 29, our last episode. It's titled Craft a Brew Beer Kit Review. It's on Spotify, it's on Apple Podcasts, it's on Google Podcasts. Now actually officially on Amazon Podcasts. So it's in all the places. But we essentially give a review for craft brews, beer kits. We talk about our experiences, show lots of pictures of the process of making those, and you know, basically step by step how you have to do it. Lots of good information there. If you've ever thought about brewing your own beer, I'd highly recommend you check that episode out.
Heck yeah, guys, check it out. Let's go ahead and talk about people punching each other. You want to do that?
Yes, I would love to.
All right, guys, UFC shenanigans coming up. Stick around. And we're back. Let's talk about some UFC shenanigans, man. And there's been
Yes.
some UFC shenanigans this week. Go
Oh
ahead.
boy, our the star child Conor McGregor finds himself in the headlines constantly. Constant Conor.
Oh my gosh.
Good nickname.
Always
Anyway,
something.
so I think it was like Monday or Tuesday this news came out. So we're not the first to break the news, obviously, but we probably won't be the last. Conor McGregor had another incident. He landed himself in the what do you call it? In the clank, whatever they call it.
Yeah, we'll call it the clank. That sounds
The
good.
clank. This time for what was reported to be a sexual assault. Then, you know, of course, the media gets a hold of things. They call it what they want to call it. Turns out it was an indecent exposure. And then now it seems like it's turned out it's actually nothing. So Conor McGregor was accused of exposing himself to a female in a bar in France. Apparently, this girl was walking to the bathroom or something. He apparently did something he was not supposed to do. He was arrested, but then was later released, no charges filed. And then a couple days after that, released a statement saying essentially, it was a pretty long statement, but and it was actually posted on his like personal Facebook page. But he basically said, "I'll never give in to someone trying to make a dime off of me." So it sounds like there really hasn't been a lot more details to come out at this point. So we'll have to wait and see what's actually released. But it sounds like someone maybe tried to make up a story about him. They knew who he was, tried to say he did something he didn't actually do, and was maybe trying to, you know, force a settlement out of him to get some money, which is terrible. It's a terrible thing to do. Either side of the story is terrible. If he actually did do something, which, you know, hasn't obviously been ruled out, I guess, at this point, that's awful. If he didn't do something and this person is lying on him and trying to get some of his money, that's also awful. But our man just cannot stay out of the headlines regardless. Dude,
yeah. Well, I think he's like a target now for shady people to, you know, try and, I don't know, what's the word I'm looking for? Not abuse, but kind of just, I don't
know. Take advantage of him.
Yeah, take advantage of him, right? So, I agree with you, man. The media gets a hold of it. Oh, Conor McGregor. Oh, yeah, let's blow this thing up.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and then it turns into something crazy. And then I read, like, that day, I was like, oh, so indecent exposure, but he was in the bathroom. I don't understand. She was walking past him in the bathroom? Like,
well, what I read was that she was walking to the bathroom and he then exposed himself. So I don't know. I mean, who knows, dude? The stories are flipped every time they're written. So,
dude, I don't get it. I mean, was he walking out of the bathroom and like zipping his pants up? Like, is that what it was? Like,
could have been completely nothing. Could have been completely made up.
I feel like it was completely made up because there's nothing in my mind that can get me to understand why, you know. I don't know. Maybe he was like super drunk. I could understand maybe he was super drunk and like he was walking out of the bathroom, zipping his pants up. But that's like, that's the only thing I could think of.
Right. Exactly.
Who cares?
He might've had a little too much proper 12 in his system. But
a little too much.
I kind of doubt it. I mean, he's more so the guy who gets drunk and punches old dudes in the face and maybe less of exposing himself. But regardless, I mean, more to come, I guess, on that. If any of the details do come about, obviously we'll bring them back to the table. But you know, Conor McGregor, even being in the news like this, he's still not out of the UFC. Even though he said he retired earlier this year in June, he's been in the news a couple times since then for things like this. But still, according to Dana White, Conor could be back fighting in the UFC again next year. Very little details again on this. Basically, in a press conference, Dana White said that they are working on some fun stuff, quote unquote. I'm using air quotes there, some fun stuff, and that he could potentially be back in 2021, but no guarantees. So some fun stuff to me, I don't know. There's a lot of things you could probably draw from that. But my initial thought was, you know, as high level, you know, as popular and famous as he is, like he's almost like Mike Tyson level, where if they bring him back, it's going to be for some sort of exhibition, you know, matchup where it's just like a, you know, a publicity sort of matchup.
Yeah.
I'm not sure who that opponent would be. I don't know if he ever even cares to get a title fight again. But interesting that Dana would say that.
Yeah, dude, it's just going to be like a WWE matchup kind of deal where they're just trying to make a buck out of him.
Yeah.
I mean, how old is he? I don't even know anymore.
I think he's 32 or something. He's pretty young.
He's 32. So he's still pretty young. I mean, he's still got a lot of fight left in him. I just feel like, why would somebody that rich even, why would you want to get punched in the face at that point? I mean, dude, take the money, never get punched in the face again, and live a long, happy, rich life, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. He is 32. I just confirmed. So still very young. That's kind of crazy to think about.
Are you stalking this guy? How'd you know how old he was? I'm just kidding.
Well, you know, there's this thing called Google.
I love Conor McGregor. Oh, jeez.
I did a Bing search. I found him on Bing.
Nice, nice.
Said no one ever. Yeah.
Did you actually use Bing, though?
No. Of course I didn't use Bing.
I was like, wait, what?
Yeah, I used Bing on my Microsoft Edge browser.
I was like, okay, yeah, man. Whatever, dude. You know, whatever floats your boat, use Bing.
I used Ask Jeeves.
Get out of here. You're on AOL.com right now.
Yeah.
Don't lie. Man. Don't lie.
Good times. Good old internet. Good old internet humor.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kids these days will never know.
No, they won't. They won't hear those dial-up tones that we used to endure.
Did you say AOL? Did you mean LOL? Oh, man.
I am now.
Oh, gosh. It gets worse the further we go. It gets worse.
No. Turn around. Turn this bus around right now.
Oh, man. Too funny. All right, so next up on the docket, I don't really have a good way to transition into this one, just being transparent with you guys. We've got a new fighter signed to the UFC, pretty high profile, Michael Chandler. I'm going to go ahead and put this out there. I don't really follow Bellator very much, but Michael Chandler is a three-time lightweight Bellator champion. He's moving to the UFC. They signed him officially to the lightweight division of the UFC, and he was offered first a fight with Dustin Poirier. So on, I think, 254, the card with Adesanya and Paulo Costa. But Dustin Poirier turned it down because, I guess, fighter pay issues. And also, I found this was interesting. He quoted, cited saying that he was, there was some loyalty there to Tony Ferguson. So I guess he and Tony must have respect for each other. They want to make that fight between them happen, so they're not going to, take other fights. And essentially, it sounds like kind of standing their ground until the UFC is willing to pay for that sort of a super fight.
Yeah.
Which I think is respectable for sure. So anyways, this Michael Chandler fella, he's got wins over Eddie Alvarez and Benson Henderson, obviously both big UFC fighters. Other than that, I really don't know much about him, but it sounds like he's a pretty interesting prospect. And, they're already trying to get him matched up with Dustin Poirier. They're obviously not making him work his way up through the lightweight division. And right now it stands that he is actually the backup for Justin Gaethje or Khabib, given one of them drops out of whatever card that is.
That's insane, dude. That's insane. Yeah. I heard Dana say that too.
That's crazy. Really insane. So you're basically making him a backup title contender.
This first fight in the UFC. Nobody in, I never heard of him, because I don't really follow Bellator, so I'm right there with you, man.
Yeah. It's crazy. Actually led me down a path of Googling what fighters came from Bellator. There were definitely some recognizable names. Eddie Alvarez actually came from Bellator to UFC. Alexander Volkov. And then there was a group of guys that I had never really, known much about. So definitely some high level fighters have come from Bellator to UFC. Whereas more recently, we've been seeing a lot more fighters go from UFC to Bellator. So,
yeah,
interesting this back and forth. It almost makes me wonder, are we getting close to a point where there's almost some competition? People are bouncing from UFC to Bellator and from Bellator to UFC, the fighter pay must be pretty close. Otherwise, we'd be more lopsided.
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head there. I think Bellator is paying some of the fighters more than the UFC will, and so that's what it is. It's a contract game. I mean, think about the NFL, right? How they have free agents, and then they'll get picked up by a certain team that's going to pay them a certain amount, and they'll go with that team. And
yeah,
I think that's, we're kind of in that space with the MMA right now, where you have free agents that can just, they're literally free agents. They're on open contracts. Yeah. After the contracts end, they're free to go wherever they want.
Think it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it does create competition. There needs to be a little bit more competition, and hopefully we'll see some better, more competitive fighter pay. Exactly the case here with Dustin Poirier. Good job, Dustin. Stand your ground, dude. Get paid you think you deserve.
You're a diamond in the rough, Dustin.
Because Dana's just going to sit back and say, oh, I'm not going to pay you $2,000. I'm not going to pay you any money. Don't you want to fight? Don't you want to get punched in the face?
Listen, guys. Thought you
wanted to do this for free.
Yeah.
So dumb.
Dana White's press conferences always go the exact same. Listen, guys, I like the guy. I like Dustin. He's a great fighter. He's got a lot of potential, and he's very exciting to watch. But, listen, guys, this is a business, guys, okay?
Yeah.
Drop some F-bombs in there.
So, yeah, right? Yeah, dude.
Anyways.
All right, man.
I can't wait to watch that again. I shouldn't make fun of people.
That was lovely. Anyway.
He literally answers every question with listen, guys, listen.
He does. He does. Yeah, you're right. He's got it down to a science. He can answer any question like that. Everybody's like, oh, okay. Yeah, Dana said it. Fine.
Sure.
All right, something a little bit more controversial. Daniel Cormier reveals that he had COVID-19 during training camp for Stipe. Did you see this?
No, I did not. Did not see this until you put it into our wonderful show notes document.
Yeah, I saw this. I was scrolling through my Google news feed the other day, and I was like, what? No way. So he discovered he came down with coronavirus mid-July, and their fight was on August 15th. So basically, one of his teammates tested positive for the virus beginning of July. So DC and others started taking tests, make sure that they weren't infected. They all came back as negative, but then on July 8th, DC began to feel some symptoms. He got the itis, and the following week he tested positive for COVID-19. Pretty crazy, man. So that means I'm just wondering, you know, he basically had a month, I guess, to recover.
Yeah.
But that, of course, would have just demolished his fight camp, and yeah. I just can't believe we didn't hear about any of this, you know, stuff prior. And I mean, the risk of him going into the cage and all, I mean, there's just so much to it. But I want to get your perspective on this next bit that I'm going to say, right? So first off, he's saying that this isn't an excuse at all. You know, Stipe won the fight. He fought beautifully. And he's saying that this is basically a thank you to Aura for allowing me to get to fight. What's Aura, you ask? That's what I asked. Aura Health Ring is a device that provides Aura Health Ring is a device that provides health stats for athletes. The UFC announced on Tuesday, just this most recent Tuesday, that they have a partnership with Aura Health. They've also provided 65 fighters with the device already. So I guess my question is is it even real? Did DC actually have COVID-19, or is this all just a scheme to push this like Aura Health Ring thing? I don't know, man.
This feels so wrong. This feels so dirty.
Doesn't it?
It does. It feels gross.
You agree though that this looks fishy, right? Like the thought was like, I don't know about that.
This reminds me of the time I was watching a Pawn Stars episode. And I witnessed the most shameless Subway plug I've ever seen. When I don't know if you've ever watched that show, but it's a pawn shop. In case you guys haven't seen it, it's a pawn shop run by a family, three generations of guys who run this shop. And there's the old man, and then there's his son, which is the dad of the younger son. And they're both pretty heavy guys, or all of them are pretty heavy guys, big guys. And so he comes in with Subway one morning. Like they tell the old man's like, go out and get me some Subway. Here's a $5. Or go out and get me some breakfast. Here's a $5 bill. And so the guy's like, what could I possibly get for you that's only $5?
Oh, my God.
Like, he walks into the pawn shop like in the next scene. And is like, here, I got you this. And he's like, well. And all the Subway logos are pointing directly at the camera, of course.
Of course. Of course.
And he's like, well, at least you got me something that's a little bit healthy and not some of that junk fast food. And like, it's just like, oh my gosh, you couldn't be any more obvious. Like, this is exactly what that feels like. Oh, yeah. By the way, Daniel Cormier had COVID-19 while training for his big fight. But thanks to Aura, this health tracking ring sponsored by the UFC, he caught it early on and he was able to recover quickly so he could come back and win, or not even win, lose against Stipe. Like,
lose. Dude, exactly, because like at the end of like the thing that I was reading, there was a quote where it was like Daniel Cormier says that he's so thankful that he had Aura Ring to identify early onset symptoms of COVID-19. I was like, no. Cringe.
Oh, so cringe worthy.
Yeah, dude, I don't know.
That's
if I
terrible.
Yeah, so I'm gonna just go ahead and say I don't think it's real, but you know, whatever.
Yeah, I hope it's like at least halfway real, just to like maintain some credibility for DC.
Oh man.
Like, dude, DC, you retired a week ago and now you've already like sold out to some company. Like, I don't know. I mean, good for you. You're making a bunch of money. I can't judge, but still, like, oh, that's hard.
You know what's crazy though?
What's that?
That Aura Health Ring is like some new technology, man. That's some good That's some new technology. And speaking of technology, let's talk about some technology. Be right back. All right, guys, we're back.
Welcome back. Hopefully you guys didn't gag while we were gone.
Oh, jeez.
This is the best long-running joke I've ever had that it's ever existed.
These are great. So great.
All right, so. Okay. All right, so Aura is a ring you wear on your finger, apparently, that detects coronavirus in MMA athletes. But
is that literally all it does?
I don't know. Never heard about it, but I guess now we have to look into it.
Okay.
Thanks to DC and his fake COVID. Yeah. So something that you wear around your wrist. Apple announced this week their new Apple Watch Series 6, Apple Watch SE, and a new iPad Air. They had a big event on Monday, 1 p.m. Eastern time. I missed it. I never missed an Apple event, and somehow I completely spaced and I missed it. Regardless, though, let's get into some of these details, guys. So the Apple Watch Series 6 starts at $399, what was the existing cost of the Apple Watch Series 5. So literally lateral replacement here, no jump in cost, just new hardware. Same design that was introduced with the Series 4, so still the square design. People keep waiting and keep teasing and keep, you know, leading on that there's going to be a round Apple Watch design somewhere in the future. I don't really see it happening, but maybe I'll be wrong.
Everything else they have is square. Why would they do round on one thing?
Yeah, exactly. I don't think they're gonna forfeit. It's a differentiator for them, and people can tell you're wearing an Apple Watch from a distance, and that's what they want. The main difference really with this generation though is the ability to read blood oxygen levels, which is pretty cool. So I really considered getting this device specifically for that feature because I suspect that I might have sleep apnea. And one of the things that's advertised to do is while you're sleeping, it will continuously monitor your blood oxygen level and can alert you to any irregularities. You know, while you're sleeping, if you do have sleep apnea, you get less oxygen in your blood, less oxygen in your brain, and you can actually kind of not diagnose, but you can, you know, figure out maybe something might be weird. You should get checked out. So what's cool about this is how they're actually doing it. So essentially the Apple Watch Series 6 comes with an array of LED lights on the bottom of the device that touches your skin. And those LED lights shine a red light into your arm, into your blood vessels. And then there's some photodiodes also in the bottom of the watch, which absorbs the light that reflects back after it's shined into your arm. And some calculations happen at that point, and they can give you a reading of your oxygen level in your blood. So some really cool technology inside of that, which is pretty interesting given that they didn't increase the price at all from what the Series 5 was sitting at. In addition to that, it can take an ECG reading now, and instead of just a regular cardiovascular, you know, sort of reading for your heart rate. And it can also detect irregular heart rhythms. So I'm not a doctor. I'm not going to pretend to be. So I don't really know what those irregular heart rhythms are. But if you've got something funky going on in there, it can alert you to that. And it was interesting when I watched back the announcement keynote. They actually brought on people on stage because it was a virtual event. But they interviewed people who had actually had their lives saved by their Apple Watch. So a guy was like 26. He said he was sitting at home and his Apple Watch just started like dinging and saying, hey, we would detect some irregular heart activity. So he goes to the hospital and they're like, yeah, man, you're going into cardiac arrest. Like if you wouldn't have gotten here if you would have gotten here any later, we might not have been able to intervene. So pretty cool stuff. Pretty compelling. Beyond that, it's got a new S6 chip. It's 20% faster than the Series 5 chips, 2.5 times brighter with the always-on display, and it's got a new 64-bit dual-core processor. So a lot of interesting stuff there.
Wow, that's crazy. Hey, real quick, I've never had an Apple Watch. Do you have to have an Apple phone for this thing to work?
I don't want to tell you the wrong answer here. I think that you can have a non-Apple device and use your Apple Watch, but you won't be able to get some notifications like messages, calls, things like that. But I believe you can now. I think this is actually a relatively new feature. You can actually use it with a non-Apple phone.
Interesting. I want to look more into this ECG thing, and I want to see if there's any competitors out there because That's like, that really caught my interest, man. That's really cool, man. I'm happy you said that.
Yeah, it is really cool. I actually never have owned an Apple Watch either until today. I bought an Apple Watch.
Are you? What? Are you serious?
Yeah, so I actually purchased the Apple Watch SE, which was announced at the same time. It starts at $279. Full transparency, though, if you want to get the larger version, which is what I have, the 44 millimeter version, it's actually $309, I think, is the starting cost. But yeah, it's the exact same. I'm probably going to do like a write-up on our blog about this watch, maybe even like a little video or something just to go more in depth in it, but we've got to kind of keep it moving here. But
yeah,
it starts at $279. It has the exact same design as the Series 6, Series 5, Series 4. It has the same internals as the Series 5. So the SE line, if you guys aren't familiar with iPhones, is their like budget friendly sort of line, but still, you know, supported with software for a long time, still performs well. It borrows a lot of the internals from the Series 5, but also has the same 64-bit dual-core processor from the Series 6, gets the same battery life improvements, and it comes preloaded with the latest Watch OS software. The biggest difference here is that it does not do the blood oxygen reading, and it does not do the ECG reading. So that's what you're paying for when you go with the Series 6. You get some of those additional health options. I don't think that I have like heart issues, minus the fact that I might have sleep apnea. So I wasn't too concerned with that, but this is a good entry point for Apple Watch if you don't have one already. So again, more to come on the Apple Watch SE. I might do a little written review on our blog, or maybe even a little short video. So the last thing I want to talk about, they did announce their new iPad Air. I'm not going to spend too much time on this, but worth looking into. I think it starts around $599. The iPad Air now, essentially all the iPads offered by Apple at this point, all mimic the design of the iPad Pro. They have the squared off edges, I think aluminum, all aluminum casing, you know, no home button, smaller bezels. This one, interesting, now has the Touch ID sensor, which is the thumbprint reader on older iPhones or on iPads, is now integrated into the power button, which is on the top of the device. It's a very small little power button. You can put your finger on top of it, still get your fingerprint reading happening there. It's got a new A14 processor, which is 40% faster and for performance and 30% faster with graphics. They actually tout the ability to edit 4K video on this iPad, which is pretty unbelievable. In addition [S2] Wow. [S1] To that, it supports the Apple Pencil and the new Magic Keyboard, and they've got a lot of new color options. So definitely worth looking into if you're trying to get into the iPad space and you want to have access to those other tools. You know, full transparency, I think it's an extra $100 for the Apple Pencil and like $300 for that Magic Keyboard. So you're all in, you're looking pretty close to $1,000 to get the iPad Air and all those accessories. So something to keep in mind.
I'm skeptical when they say that it touts the ability to edit 4K video, because like, yeah, maybe you can edit it, but yeah, when you go to export that thing, your freaking computer's probably going to blow up and it's probably going to take you like 72 hours to export.
I forgot to mention, they sell a Apple branded oven glove, oven mitt, so that when your iPad Air is rendering the 4K video and it becomes white hot to the touch, you can use the Apple silicone oven mitt.
And if all else fails, they also announced a new Apple tin bat. Just in case all else fails and the oven mitt doesn't work either, you can just line that sucker up and just knock it out of the park.
Smash it out the window.
Just smash it out the window, man.
But as long as you've got AppleCare for an additional $8,000,
exactly,
we can offer you a free replacement.
There, boom, done. And also, the bat has a built-in ECG reading into the handle, ready for you to tell you how angry you are and when you hit that special limit where it's time to calm down.
And it syncs up with your phone so you can look back on it later to see.
Oh man, that's great.
If you ever lose your bat, you can use your phone to You can use your phone to send a signal to your bat so that it vibrates.
It vibrates, and you can find it where you threw it out the window.
Oh, that's too funny.
Okay. That's great, dude. That's crazy that you bought it today? You went out and bought it? That's crazy.
Yeah, so I ordered it a couple of days ago, expecting that it would ship, but it was not supposed to ship until next week. The release date was today. Today was the official release date of these two new watches. Nice. I'm a very impatient person when it comes to new technology. After I pay for it, I just want it instantly. So I've been exploring a lot of other retailers who offer it, and happened to be at a mall today with Shayna, and I was like, hey, I'm just gonna walk over to the Apple store, see if they're actually open. I thought they were closed, and they weren't. So long story short, I was able to cancel my order that had already placed because it was still like stuck in the processing phase. It hadn't shipped yet, like nothing was happening. So I was able to cancel that and then just purchase it for pickup at a different Apple store so I could get it today. And I'm very happy. So nice. Far, I haven't really played around with it too much, but it's pretty awesome. I like it so far.
That's awesome. All right, dude. Well, that's very cool. Very, very cool. I got a little bit of news. A lot of virtual reality news this week, man. Really exciting stuff. I'm going to start us off, ease our way into this Project Aria by Facebook. It's Facebook's prototype AR glasses, which are going to start their real-world testing this month. So they had an earlier version of this. It was Facebook's Glass, I think it was. And everybody hated it. Nobody liked it. People were getting like called names when they were wearing them. It's because they had these like big old cameras that were like built onto the lenses, and yeah, they were recording everybody, and like everybody hated it. So that was a flop. Now they're coming out with this, which currently doesn't have like an interface, so you can't see what's going on. But what it's doing, and this is weird, it serves two purposes: gathering data for AI, and then assessing how people feel, actually how they perceive it, and then their concerns about the technology. Hmm. Okay. So, one second. Sorry. So it's basically a pair of sensor-rich glasses that are designed to soak up everything that it can see and hear. So, I mean,
eesh.
Like, this isn't better than Google Glass.
This
guys,
sounds like super
this
promising.
This is more. This is more. This means you're going to be just like anybody that's out wearing these is just going to be recording. Not only are they going to be recording, they're going to be listening to everything. Yeah. And they're not even going to know what they recorded or what they listened. You know what, man? This kind of stuff is really weird for me.
Yeah.
And this, I'm actually going to touch on this in one of, I'm going to go into a bit of a pros and cons on my next topic. My next topic, also by Facebook, Oculus Quest 2.
Yes.
I am now hold on. Let me shift gears a little bit and say this. I'm super excited about this. Oculus Quest 2 finally got its official announcement. There was a bunch of leaks earlier this week, and then Tuesday, boom, they hit us with the official stuff. So now that we've got the official, we know about it. We know about all the specs. Most of the specs are good. Some of them are bad. So let me get into this real quick. The first really good thing that I think is amazing is you could buy an Oculus Quest 2 starting at $299. Guys, this is the best bang for your buck that we have ever seen in the VR space. Okay? The Quest 1 was $400. The Rift S was $400. And the Quest 2 is better than the Quest 1, and it's $100 cheaper. I mean, come
that's
on.
That's awesome.
Dude. Yeah. It's
I
awesome.
Love that.
So for $300, you get the 64 gigabit storage. For another $100, you can get the 256 gigabit storage. So that's one of the downfalls. You're only working with 64 gigabytes of storage, which only gets you so far. So, you know, if you're going to play something, you better stick with that game for a while and then uninstall it and install yeah. something else.
Yeah.
Couple more specs. It's got the Qualcomm Snapdragon XR2 processor, an upgrade. It's got a 6 gigabyte RAM. Very cool. Nearly 2K resolution per eye. Now, this is what's really cool. 2K resolution per eye. Basically, it's 4K, if you look at it that way. And it's over 50% more pixels than Quest 1. The actual resolution per eye is 1,832 by 1,920. So pretty good, man. This is going to make things pretty crisp. I'm pretty excited about that. We got 3D positional audio. Awesome. The controller's got some new ergonomics. And so I'm going to stop here real quick and just say it's got some new ergonomics. Now, they're kind of saying this like it's a good thing. Let me explain to you why this is a bad thing. They removed some of the LED sensors in the ring of the controller. So they're trying to save on weight. They're trying to make it better in your hand. But what they've sacrificed is accuracy. Yes, they have better software now. They said that we've made some software upgrades so that we can track it better. But it is now harder for them. It's not gonna work good. It's not gonna work good. One second.
Yeah, that's interesting, man. I like the resolution. I like the resolution bump a lot. That's awesome. And this is what we were expecting to happen, right? Like this price decrease with a newer generation. This is exactly what we've been talking about. The more use cases we find for VR, the more demand there will be for the devices, and the barrier to entry in terms of price will be lowered because the hardware will be more affordable. Like the chipsets will be you're ordering stuff in bulk, the price goes down. So, you know, more demand equals lower cost. So I'm excited about that.
I'm super excited about it too. And, you know, it's got fast switch LCDs, really great stuff there. Right now it's got 72 Hertz refresh rate, but it's going to be coming out with 90 Hertz, with support for that coming out later. So that's kind of like a negative note. But you know, it's going to be here soon, and you know, it's, you know, we'll have the 90 Hertz and that's going to be great. Now, coming back to one of the negative things, and this is the same for the Quest 1, it only has a 2 to 3 hour battery life. And, you know, I think that's pretty short because it takes 2.5 hours to charge. So if you're going to go play for 2 hours, you can play for 2 hours and then you got to put that sucker down and then you got to charge it for 2.5 hours. If you want to get in a good, 8 hour long gaming session, which I'm sure not a lot of people do, you know, you're limited there. So yeah, some good and bad here. Hopefully they have a good solution for that. I'm wondering if you could plug it in and play with it plugged in the whole time, but I actually don't know. I know that they have the Oculus Link, so you could treat it like an Oculus Rift and have it plugged in so you can play better games, but I don't know if it's going to charge it in that same time. So
I did not know that. I did not know you could do that with the Quest.
Yeah, it actually, I think midway through this past year, actually, no, the end of last year, they released this technology, and it was like right after I bought my Rift S, and I was like, really? I just bought the Rift S, and now you're telling me I didn't have to be corded? Anyway, yeah. Oculus Quest, a couple other things that a little bit separate from the actual release of it, the Oculus Quest is going to be able to cast to PC. The app is getting a spectator mode, which is cool. It's already available to cast to your phone or your TV, but it's going to be optimized. And so if you want to check it out, go to oculus.com/casting using Edge or Chrome. That'll take you there. I don't think the website's built out just yet, but bookmark it. Go check it out in a couple months. It should be ready to go. Next year, the mobile app is also getting the spectator mode, so that's going to give you third-person view. Where you can control the camera angle. All right, guys.
Interesting. Here it comes. That'd be cool.
Yeah. Yeah, man. And and if you're thinking about getting an Oculus Quest 2, then you're probably wondering what video games you're going to play. And if you're wondering what video games you're going to play, then I got the right section for you. Sit back, relax. We'll be right back with our video games. Be right back. Okay, guys, here we go. Let's talk about some games. Let's talk about specifically some Oculus Quest 2 games that were announced when Oculus Quest 2 was announced on Tuesday at Oculus. Well, I guess it was Facebook Connect 7. Now it used to be Oculus. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Before I go, one of the other negative things that I didn't mention yet is for you to play on the Oculus Quest 2, you have to have a Facebook account.
Yeah. Yeah, we talked about that a couple episodes ago. That's so dirty.
Yeah, it's very controversial, really scary thing. Everybody's kind of like, really? That's a really bad idea to make people do that.
The long-term strategy is coming out now. The Zuck is finally putting his grasp on the Oculus users.
Yeah.
You must sign into my platform.
Yeah, dude, exactly.
Sidebar here, have you ever seen the Mark Zuckerberg smoking these meats video?
No, what?
All right, if you guys are listening to this in your car, pull your car over. Get your phone out and go to YouTube and look up Mark Zuckerberg smoking these meats. It's literally when Facebook Live first arrived, when Facebook Live was first a thing, Mark Zuckerberg did like a 3-hour long live video on Facebook where he's literally sitting in his backyard smoking meats and he's talking to people on Facebook. And he says like every 30 seconds, he's like, yeah, I'm out here just smoking these meats. Like, what are you guys up to this Sunday? I hope you're doing something as tasty as smoking these meats. Just like, it's the most awkward, uncomfortable experience in my life.
That's a terrible thing to say. Okay.
And somebody remixed it into a song. So it's like a smoking these meats song.
Oh, I gotta go check out the song, dude. Oh my gosh, that's gonna be crazy. I gotta check it out. All right, guys. Oculus Quest 2 games that got announced. Let's go through them, man. First off, Beat Saber multiplayer. Everybody that's played VR knows about Beat Saber, but guess what? It's never been multiplayer. November 2020, guys, you'll get some multiplayer. Really cool. Warhammer 40K Battle Sister. I'm pretty sure everybody knows what Warhammer is. I don't think we've seen it for Oculus yet. It's going to be coming out towards the holidays of 2020. Here's a really cool game. Population 1, again, during the holidays of 2020. This one's a shooter. It is a, I think it's along the lines of a battle royale. But it allows you to climb any in-game object and then you have wingsuits. So like in VR with a gun in your hand, you're going to be like climbing up and then you jump off and use your wingsuit and dive bomb onto somebody. It's going to be crazy.
That sounds epic.
So let me just speed through these next ones. We got Star Wars Tales from the Galaxy's Edge. Really cool. We keep seeing Star Wars stuff come out. Love it. This stuff is all coming out this year, by the way. The Climb 2, if you know about VR, then you know about The Climb. Everybody loved that game. Climb 2 is coming out. Jurassic World Aftermath. We got Pistol Whip 2089. I have Pistol Whip. Love that game. We got The Walking Dead, Saints and Sinners. We actually talked about that in one of our prior episodes.
Yeah.
Make sure to go check that out. Sniper Elite VR. And then we got Myst, of all things.
I don't know what that is.
Okay. All right. Myst is like a strategy puzzle game back from like when the original Diablo game came out. I'm talking way back, dude. Back in like the early 90s, Myst was a game that came out.
Okay.
And so they're putting it on VR. Crazy. I don't know.
Interesting.
Yeah, man.
I feel like we're inching ever closer to the moment where I start to be interested in VR. It's getting there. Like the game catalog is growing. The barrier to entry in terms of cost is getting lower. Like it's almost at the sweet spot where I want to dive in.
Hey man, you never know. I might have one of these Oculus Quest 2s when I come down and see you.
Oh, snap. That'd be pretty epic.
Got to talk to the wife.
Pretty epic. And you know what else is epic?
Oh.
Free games. Free games from Epic. Pretty epic.
I didn't know you were setting us up like that. I didn't even realize it.
I didn't realize it either. Just one of those things that happened. It was just something that was there, and I just took advantage of it.
Took it. There it is.
Anyways, nice. Yeah, you guys check out those games available for Oculus Quest 2. That sounds exciting, man. A lot of interesting stuff there. Some things I've heard of, like Pistol Whip and Beat Saber, I've heard a lot of great things about, so excited for all that. But Epic Games, we always talk about the free Epic Games that are out there right now. There's a few of them out this week, but the only one that I really care to talk about is Watch Dogs 2, just because it's a $50 value. if you want to save $50 and you want a AAA title game, even though it is 4 years old, go get yourself some Watch Dogs 2. I'm sure it's probably still fun to play to this day. Probably holds up pretty well. Watch Dogs, what's that one called? The new Watch Dogs?
I don't recall.
I can't think of it.
I don't follow it. I don't really follow Watch Dogs, but I did see it came out.
There's a new Watch Dogs game coming out really soon, so I guess they're putting this one out there for free just to kind of re-energize there you go. Legion. Thank you, Polar Knights, in the Twitch chat. Watch Dogs Legion is coming out really soon, so they're probably putting this out there for some publicity. Anyways, save yourself $50. Go add that. Even if you don't play it for a while, just get it anyways. So moving on from that, some hardware news to kind of wrap us up here. PS5 price and release date was finally revealed this week. $499 for the PS5 and $399 for the digital edition, which is the version that does not have a disc tray or a disc slot or whatever you call it, disc drive. So if you just want to download all your games, $400, you can save yourself $100. Obviously, you can't watch your Blu-rays with that version. It releases November 12th for the United States, Japan, Mexico, Australia, New Zealand, and South Korea, and the rest of the world. You suckers, you gotta wait seven extra days. 19th.
So if you live
anywhere else, I don't know where else you could live. I mean, like United Kingdom or like, I don't know, Germany or something like that. Wherever else that is. Those other places. You gotta wait seven extra days. Sorry, I don't know what to tell you.
If you're not important, like these countries that we just listed.
Yeah. North
Korea.
If you're
unimportant, you unimportant. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, North Korea, you guys can't get it until the 19th, just because
your neighbors are getting it, though.
Kim Jong-un is super upset right now. Anyways, PS5 pre-orders actually opened early by accident. So they were supposed to open up on September 17th, which was yesterday, but some people made some mistakes. Mistakes were made at some of these big box retailers, and they accidentally opened pre-orders a day early. And then it just turned into a giant cluster of everyone opening pre-orders early. That includes Amazon, Walmart, GameStop, Target, Best Buy. One person made the slip up. They all had to follow suit because, you know, otherwise they were behind the ball. So there were broken links being tossed around. People were told they could pre-order, but then they couldn't pre-order. Even some cases where PS5s are like disappearing from your shopping cart and like no longer there for you to pre-order. Complete mess. So big flub by the big box retailers, but some people were lucky enough. My coworker actually he was able to get his hands on a PS5 pre-order, so that's awesome. But at this point, today's the 18th. You're probably listening to this on the 19th or later. You should be able to go out there and pre-order yourself one as long as the inventory is still holding up. So interesting stuff.
Jeez, good old Amazon and Walmart just always screwing things up.
That's right.
They did Walmart did the same thing with Oculus Quest 2. They put the $299 price on it like a couple days before anybody knew about it. So now it's like, oh, okay. Everybody
Whoopsies.
Knew.
Whoopsies.
Or at least everybody expected it.
Someone got fired.
Yeah. Well, probably. It was probably all intentional. I got one last bit of information, guys. We got League of Legends Wild Rift. It's going to be a fast-paced mobile MOBA style game set in Runeterra. I'm really excited about this. I spent a lot of time playing League of Legends, and I think it's pretty cool that they're going to put something like this on your phone. You can go check it out. Go check out League of Legends Wild Rift and check it out online. You'll be able to see a little bit of the demo of what's going on there. It looks really exciting, really fun. Looks like a really fun game for your phone. And it's going into regional closed beta. What's that mean? Well, that means that you can sign up for it, but you're not going to get access to it yet. It's only available in the Philippines, Indonesia, Singapore, Malaysia, and Thailand. It is not available in the United States or Europe. And you can sign up, though. You can go pre-register on Google Play. And if you got an iOS device, you can head to wildrift.leagueoflegends.com to sign up for when it is when that closed beta is brought to your neck of the woods. You'll be ready to go.
Very nice. I will say something right now that's probably, you're going to give me a virtual slap in the face.
Why?
When I was reading through our show notes document and you wrote LOL, I thought you were literally talking about laughing out loud. and I didn't understand the League of Legends. So.
Oh man. No, that's funny. That's actually funny. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it makes sense that it's like, why would you think it meant League of Legends? It's
I don't
like
know.
Everybody.
I'm such a noob.
You're such a noob, dude.
I know. Oh, you should slap me next time you see me.
You know what? Go download Riot Games right now, and you better spend the next 24 hours. No sleep for you, dude. No sleep for you.
No sleep?
League of Legends. League of Legends the whole time. Cancel all your plans.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Oh, jeez. Awesome.
All right, guys.
Good times, dude. Good times.
Yeah, that was a packed episode. I hope you guys enjoyed that. That's probably the fastest talking we've done since starting this podcast. So I hope you guys were able to keep up with us. There was a lot of information we talked about. So let us know, what of this episode are you most excited about? If you're listening to this point, number one, bless you for being a fan of ours. Thank you guys so much for sticking around and listening to this. We are glad you are here. Thank you for checking us out live on Twitch or on YouTube. Please do leave us a comment, but most importantly, just follow along with us on social media, Instagram, Twitter. Subscribe to us on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. We are now, like I mentioned earlier, on Amazon Podcasts /Audible. I believe also on Audible. So really, anywhere you listen to podcasts, you should be able to find us. If not, send us a message because we should be there. So let us know. Yep. If we're not somewhere that you want to listen to us, you let us know. We'll make sure that we end up there somehow or another. Yep. But most importantly, just reach out to us, engage with us. We want to get to know you guys and grow a little bit of an audience here and share with a friend. If there's somebody out there that's interested in craft beer, UFC, technology, video games, or really just wants to have a good time on a Friday night, make sure you share our show with them. We would greatly appreciate it.
Yes, sir. We definitely would. Check us out on Spotify. I think you said that already, but you know, definitely reach out to us, guys. We want to have a dialogue. If you guys want to network, if you're a podcaster, reach out to us. You know, if there's something that we have in common, some topics that you guys have in common, you guys want to chat about them, have a podcast together, have some dialogue there. We would totally be up for that. So you guys just let us know. And make sure to check out our website, thegingerandthebeard.com. We got some blogs on there, got some interesting stuff. And check us out on Tuesdays. We do a show on Twitch here and usually release that on Wednesdays. It's usually about the UFC weigh-ins. So we got a fight coming up tomorrow, Tyron Woodley versus Colby Covington. We'll be talking about that, about the outcome of that fight card on Tuesday. So I can't wait, and can't wait to see you guys there.
Absolutely. All right. Well, until then, guys, we will see you in the next one. Have a great weekend or week or whenever you're listening to this, and we'll catch you guys in the next episode.
All right, guys. Take care. We'll see you then.
See ya.